Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. First up today, Dave. He's listening in Winter Haven, Florida. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Hank. I love your show. I gained so much knowledge from the scriptures just listening to your show. I want to thank you for that. My question is, in the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he descends down to earth, he says he's going to raise the dead first to go to heaven, and then all the believers second. My question is, I always assumed if I were to die right now, I would ascend to heaven, be judged, and hopefully live eternally with the Lord. So what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, well, you know, in the passage that you're referring to, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what the apostle is doing, the apostle Paul, is giving believers comfort. And he's saying that you are grieving right now about those who are departed. But, says Paul, we should not grieve like the rest of those who have no hope, and there's a reason for that. Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So he's giving them comfort, and the comfort he's giving them is the comfort of resurrection. And he says, therefore, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. And again, this is in the context of comfort for those who have died. And he says, what's going to happen is the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So those who have passed on that you're grieving over, they're going to rise first. And then he says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, which is to say that all the dead are going to be resurrected, and those who are alive are going to go through the process that's tantamount to death. In other words, they're going to be transformed from mortal to immortal, from perishable to imperishable, from corruptible to incorruptible. And then he says, and so we will be with the Lord forever, therefore encourage each other with these words. Now, this is in concert with what John says in Revelation chapter 21. When Jesus comes, it's not as though he's going to come in reverse directions. No, he's going to come to live with us. And this whole idea of meeting him in the air is a picture of welcoming the Lord of glory back to the habitation of humanity. And as John puts it, God himself will be with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He's going to live with us. In other words, the habitation of God is going to be the habitation of humanity. Sacred space will fill our place. The veil between the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity will be removed. And we will have the same experience that Adam and Eve had with God as they walked with God in the cool of the day. In other words, we will commune with God. And that is what we look forward to. And Jesus augments this by plainly saying, do not be amazed, the time is coming when all who are the graves will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be condemned. In other words, when he appears a second time, all, not some, but all will be raised. Some will be raised to everlasting destruction, separation from his goodness, glory, and grace, and some will be resurrected to eternal relationship with God, which is what we're created for. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Daniel next. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Hank, for taking my call. My question is regarding Revelation, and correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that John was basically writing to the group of churches to encourage them by giving them a forethought of what was to come, not as much to tell them these are the exact things to come, not saying that these aren't the exact things to come, but to say the outcome is we have victory in Christ, and so therefore be patient in your trials. I mean, does that seem like that's correct, or am I off?
No, I think that's beautifully stated, and I think what you need to do is look at the prologue, because the prologue really gives you the purpose, which is to say the revelation of Jesus Christ. Those are the first five words. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. Why? To show his servants what must soon take place. And then the prologue goes on to say that he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So John is receiving a revelation, and it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that revelation is about what will take place soon. And the revelation is about something that is near. And so John is now giving this revelation, which he receives because it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He receives from Jesus Christ, and he's sending it to the seven churches in the province of Asia. And he is sending that revelation to them for the very purpose that you articulated. It is so that they will be faithful and fruitful. They're going to experience some very difficult times. But if they're faithful, they are going to experience the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. The old Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The city's going to be destroyed. The temple's going to be destroyed. But there's a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And Paul in Galatians actually defines this in again, a very profound way. He says, the Jerusalem that is above, she is our mother. And if you are in bondage to the Jerusalem that is below, you are like a slave woman, Hagar. You're in bondage. But he says, it is the present city, Jerusalem, that is in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. Why are they in slavery? Well, they're in slavery because they sold themselves out to be a microcosm of the world. Instead of being a light to the world, salt and light, a city on a hill, they prostituted themselves. And they had become the great prostitute, but the Jerusalem who is above is not enslaved, but rather free. And that is our mother, says Paul. And that's what we long for. It's not a restored Jerusalem below. The meek will not inherit a small piece of land on the west coast of the Mediterranean Sea. No, but they will inherit a new Jerusalem from above.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines and talk to Dana, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Dana.
Hey, how are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wondering about how a Christian can work on discerning spirits. And the reason I asked is because, like, I've been to churches where, you know, like, people are being slain in the spirit, and it makes me feel really uncomfortable. But how do you discern what's coming from the Holy Spirit and what could be coming from, like, somewhere else?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important that you test all things and hold fast to that which is good, which is to say that the notion of slain in the Spirit, if you test that in light of Scripture, you find that there's no biblical basis for it whatsoever. Nowhere do you find this phenomenon practiced by Jesus Christ or the disciples. And in point of fact, what you recognize in the modern epic is that what is going under the rubric of slain in the spirit is a function of people being worked into an altered state of consciousness, peer pressure, the enhancement of their expectations and the subtle power of suggestion. Imagine this, if I laid a plank on the ground and asked you to walk along that plank, you'd have no problem doing it whatsoever. But if I took that same plank and perched it between the twin spires of a cathedral and asked you to walk it, you would fall every single time. Why? Because the fear of falling would create the reality. And so it is with those who are aping the practices of pagan spirituality. What was once relegated to the ashrams of cultists is now front and center before the altars of churches. And quite frankly, it is a travesty. There's nothing whatsoever to commend it in Scripture. Rather, the Scripture says that we are to be alert and sober-minded because our adversary, the devil, prowls around seeking those he wishes to destroy. So we shouldn't be involved in occultic practices, but rather principles that are firmly tethered in the Word of God. Be right back.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Once again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick invitation to those who are not presently a member of the Bible Answer Man support team. If you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having around the world, please prayerfully consider joining today. And my deepest appreciation again to those who are members of the Bible Answer Man support team. You are making a difference for time and for eternity. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. This is going to be hard for me because I've never done this before.
Okay.
My son has terminal cancer. Like 3 years ago, he had colon cancer, and now it's in his liver. Mm. And I pray, and I prayed, and I prayed, and it just, like, sometimes I don't think God really listens, like, hears me or anything, you know? I feel like Job in the Bible, you know, like just so many things are happening to our family, you know, like just in the last 3 years, you know, one of my other family members, they were, you know, little kids, they were sexually molested. Now I just found out that my other family's kids were sexually molested. And then I have COPD and I have lupus and my wife has something else. And it's just like, does God hate me?
No, John, let me tell you the truth about what the condition is for you, for me, and for everyone else that lives on this planet. We live in a cursed creation, and we are going to continue to suffer the effects of the fall, which include sickness and disease, and all kinds of horrendous things that you have described. And that is going to be until God establishes a new heaven and a new earth where indwells righteousness. What's important to realize, John, is that Christianity was never designed to give you a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life. In other words, there's no way that I can tell you, John, what you're going through, don't worry about it, it's all going to be fine. No, that's simply not true. We are suffering the effects of the fall, and all of us will before the Lord returns in one way or another. And we don't even know the reason why we suffer as we suffer. And therefore, I can say there's no place to say, John, God hates you. That's why that's happening to you. You've done something and therefore you're being punished. No. In fact, when Job asked God the question, why is this happening? God thunders back. He says, you don't even understand how I create a tiny drop of dew. How can you understand what's going on in the heavenlies? Which is to say that God has given us enough knowledge about himself that we can trust him in the midst of our wise. And you brought up Job, but that's what Job eventually was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Why? Because God has demonstrated himself to be trustworthy. So the question is not why, the question is to trust God in the midst of your wise. And that is what he's looking for from you. That's what he's looking for from your son, to trust him.
My son said he's not afraid to die.
Is that because he has a relationship with the Lord?
He said he gave himself to Jesus a long time ago. But, I mean, he doesn't go to church and, like, he doesn't read the Bible and anything like that. He believes in Christ. You know, like, I do too. I believe, you know, I became a Christian when I was 18 through the Pentecost. And then I went to Baptist church. Then I went to Mormon church. You know, I searched all over the place, you know, and I have a lot of respect for you, and I take what you say in my heart, and I know that you talked about suicide. I don't want to see my son die, but I know that from listening to you, that's the wrong way to do it. And I know that I have families here. I have people here that love me and people here that need me. So I won't do that. As much as I want to, I will have to see him die. But I hope it gets better, Hank.
Well, John, it's a horrible thing to see a son die. I mean, it's the greatest fear that a parent oftentimes has, to see their own son die, and you're experiencing that, and there's nothing I can say that will make that pain go away. The only thing that I can tell you, John, is that there is a peace that God can give you in the midst of the storm. He doesn't remove the storm, but he does give us peace in the midst of the storm. And there's something else I can tell you. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. That's what the Bible tells us. All things. So even in pain and tragedy, there's something that comes out of it. My dad died of a fibrosing in his lungs, and I watched him die, and it was not a pretty sight. And yet, I can see beauty that came out of the ashes in this very day in the lives of my own children. So in a small way, I've been able to see the glimpses of beauty even in the pain. And that's what we long for, is the recognition that those who are genuine followers of Jesus Christ, that love the Lord, and not only recognize that we're saved by God's grace through faith, but those who embrace the life of Christ, which is that Christ has given us life even in the midst of pain. I was in China when I was speaking to people in the persecuted church who had been imprisoned for many, many years, and I saw those people without a sense of self-pity, and the reason was is that they had learned to live the crucified life, which is not just a changed life, but it's an exchanged life. It's the life of Christ within. So even as we are dying, and you and I are both dying, in fact, everyone who's born is dying. You know, the death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. So that's the natural condition of humanity. But what allows us to overcome is the hope of resurrection. Christ rose, and therefore we know that we too will rise. And it doesn't matter, John, that we're going to die in the end. What matters is that we're going to live forever. And therefore, I think it's really critical that you're an equipped believer today that can sit down as your son gives you the opportunities, which is to say you can't force feed anyone, not even your son. But as he gives you the opportunities to gently communicate the reality of Christ, not only with your lips, but with your life and your love.
Right. See, I told him what you said. I told him that, you know, like, I'm a little bit jealous because when you die, you're going to be going up to heaven, and you're going to be able to, you know, you're going to be able to do things that you just wouldn't believe that you'd be able to do. And I believe that, and I believe what you said. So when he dies, he will go to heaven, right?
Well, all of those who want a relationship with Jesus Christ will in no way be cast out, which is to say those who want a relationship with God, God is never going to hide from them. In fact, the Bible tells us in the words of God, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. But let me pray for you, John.
Okay.
Father, thank you so much for this divine appointment, for an opportunity to talk to John. And Lord, you see the heaviness, the burden that he is even now bearing, the very thought of wanting just to end it all because it seems so hopeless. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd give John peace in the midst of the storm. And Lord, would you by your grace allow him, even in his pain, maybe especially in his pain, to be an ambassador for you. Lord, equip him by your Spirit to speak to his son words of peace, words of joy, words of hope. Lord, I pray that you would infill him with your Spirit. And Lord, may he be a testimony to his son, if he were created for no other purpose, Lord, use his words and his testimony in the life of his son. And Lord, do bring other circumstances and people into the lives of John and his extended family so that they might be comforted, so that they might know that your hands and feet are active in the world through the lives of believers. Oh Lord, will you become real, more real to John than the very flesh upon his bones. And Lord, we do not pray this by might or power, but only by your Spirit. Comfort John in the midst of the storm. Give him peace, a peace that passes all understanding. My peace I leave with you, not peace as the world gives, but a different peace, an everlasting peace, a peace that comes from the Prince of Peace himself. And again, we pray that in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Hank.
John, I'm glad we had this opportunity to talk. I will be thinking about you, and if there's something we can do in a tangible way, please do not hesitate to call. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.